Okay, good morning. We're doing Makos. We're up to Daf Beis Amid Beis. We had learned in the Mishnah, if the witnesses say that so-and-so Ploni must go into exile, they do not get exile instead, but rather they get 40 lashes. The Gemara had asked, what's the source for this that they do not go into exile? Again, being that this halacha overlaps two concepts. One is the laws of Galut. One is the laws of Edim Zomimin. We're going to pay attention whether the Gemara proves it from a pasuk from Edim Zomimim, in which case it might be a universal halacha relevant to other things, or the Gemara proves it from a pasuk in the halachos of Galut, of going into exile after killing someone by mistake, and then this halacha would be a very localized halacha specific to the laws of Galut. Beforehand, in the previous case, when we looked for a pasuk, the Gemara brought us a pasuk, Vasitem lo kasher zamam. The Gemara brought me a proof. The Gemara initially brought me a proof that Vasitem lo kasher zamam, lo velo lezaro, a pasuk from the laws of Edim Zomimim that precludes the person becoming a chalal. Now the Gemara is going to bring me a pasuk not from Edim Zomimim, but rather from the laws of Galut. Maresh Lakish, Resh Lakish, who was a Talmud, a contemporary, the brother-in-law of Rav Yochanan, said, Da'amar Kra, the pasuk says, in the laws of Galut, Hu Yanus, Elachat Ha'arim Ha'el V'chai, he will flee to one of these cities and live. Who? V'lo Zomimin. He can flee to one of these cities and not the Edim Zomimim. So Reish Lakish brings me a pasuk. Rabbi Yochanan Omer. Rabbi Yochanan says, Kal v'chomer. Umahu sha'asa ma'ase b'mezid eno gole. Hen shelo asu ma'ase b'mezid eno din shelo yiglo. Rav Yochanan says it's a kal v'chomer. If the person would have killed on purpose, and there was we don't have two witnesses. A guy walks into court and says, you know, I have my history. A number of years ago, I killed someone. And it wasn't a mistake. So he cannot go into exile. So when a person, does something on purpose, so even though he did the act, which ordinarily he would go to Galut for, but if he did it on purpose, then he cannot go in, he doesn't go into Galut. So again, we have to define what is the kal and what is the chamur. In this case. So again, we take out our trusted piece of paper.
Can I ask a question before we get there?
Yes, sir.
About which psukim we're bringing from. So we see we're bringing a pasuk from Hilchas Galus, not from Hilchas Edim Zomimim. Do we have rishus to apply this pasuk to anywhere else? When we see Hu V'loi Zomimim, could we assume Hu V'loi Zomimim, Hu V'loi Achiv, Hu V'loi? Or do we only have the right to use it as we see it?
We, you mean Netana Lenasher?
Or Rav Osner, or, yeah.
So generally, we don't know how to darshan psukim, so what it says in the Gemara is what we got. We don't have the ability to do more than that. Okay, let's take our scenario. Our starting point is harag b'shogeg, a person killed by mistake. So then he gets galut. At this point, the Gemara seems to understand that harag b'shogeg is kal, and he gets galut is a chumrah. Now, what the Gemara's question is, why don't the Edom Zomimin get that Chumrah? Right? The Gemara says, Harag B'mezid, that's Chamur, because he did an act on purpose. So Harag B'mezid is Chamur, and he does not have this Chumrah. Logole. So that's a Kula. So the Gemara wants to say Harag B'mezid is more severe than Edim B'mezid.
Right, the Edim is unintentional, no?
Isn't that the Edim is intentional. They knew they're lying.
Okay.
So our question is, Edim Zomimin, who are Edim B'mezid, they are Gole or Logole? So the Gemara wants to assume that Edim B'mezid is less severe than the Harag B'mezid. Harag B'mezid, he killed someone. The Edim did not do an act. Right? So the Chumrah of Harag B'mezid, what makes it Chamur? The Chumrah is the Maaseh. So again, the Gemara comes back to the point that we had in the previous Kal V'chomer, which is that Edim at the end of the day are less severe. They are Kal, because Lo Asu Maaseh. So if the Chamur, the Edim B'mezid, they don't go to Galus, that the Harak B'mezid has a Kula, he doesn't go to Galus, then the Edim B'mezid should also have that Kula. The difficulty here is that it would seem that the previous Sugiya said that you cannot treat Edim as Kula because they only have intent. So then why is Rav Yochanan over here coming back with seemingly an identical logic? Again, if we understand this on the surface level, it's the same thought. It's the thought that witnesses are less severe because they didn't do an act.
I mean, it's a little different. I don't know how much of a difference this makes, but over there, it was because they didn't succeed at what they were attempting.
Okay, and over here?
It's because we're not talking about what they were attempting to do, we're talking about what they actually did, which is giving the Edus.
Ah, very good. So what Asher said is Miduyak, if you look closely in Rashi, that we're punishing them for what they did. The murderer, what he did was he killed. The witnesses, what they did was testify. But in order to look at their testimony as merely speech, you have to factor the point that they didn't succeed. Meaning, what would happen, let's ask according to Rav Yochanan, if their speech would have killed him? Would Rav Yochanan still say that the Edim are Kal? It would seem, according to Rashi, yes. That the comparison here, like Usher put it, is between what action did they do? Meaning, if we're going to say that, Usher, then what you have to say is that killing by speech is less severe than killing with an axe, because it didn't involve an act. And then we'd have to ask, well, who said that's less severe? Why is the fact that he killed him by saying, okay, Google, kill John, why is that less severe than picking up an axe and killing John? Right? What ends up being here is that assumption that with a maisa and without a maisa, with a maisa is more severe. Meaning what ends up happening here is, if we're going to be medayik the way you said, then that means even if they had killed him, according to Rav Yochanan, this would be a kal, because they only did it through speech. Well, why is that a kal? Ah, because it's second degree? Because if a Nazi tells his dog to attack a Jew and kill him, so then that's less severe than if he picks up a knife and kills him, because he did it with speech, because he didn't do it with an action. That's what ends up being in the Gemara here. Now, again, we would have to ask, didn't the concept of Edom Zomimim come to teach me that these witnesses are treated severely because they did do something? Intent in this case is what incriminates them? And we have to say, not exactly. That's what the Gemara is teaching me here. That at the end of the day, there is this component that they didn't actually do anything. They only spoke. Again, like Usher pointed out, the point here is not did they accomplish the death sentence. The point here is even had they accomplished the death sentence, they're only doing it by speech. But the Gemara will hold onto Rav Yochanan's logic in this element. Remember, the Gemara is going to knock out Rav Yochanan's logic and say it's not right. But the Gemara will not contest this makeup that an action is more severe than speech. We always have to pay attention when the Gemara is giving me, like we saw last time, you remember we discussed in Hilchos Nida, a woman going to the bathroom, and we discussed in Hilchos Shabbos, salt on the meat, that sometimes the Gemara has taught me an approach, and even though the Gemara won't accept the conclusion, the Gemara does not deny the approach. And what ended up happening in this Gemara is we learned an approach which is not ruled out with the Gemara's conclusion. The approach of Rav Yochanan is speech is less severe than action. And even if that speech brings about the death of a person, it is less severe than having done it physically with an action. And that component of Rav Yochanan's logic is not ruled out. We remain with that. So now we can finish the Gemara. Yes.
So isn't that also Mafrich Torah's Edom Zomimim?
No. Think about it. That's exactly what I was trying to explain. That now, that even if they had gotten the man killed, had they done it through speech, it would be less severe than doing it with an axe. And that's why it's not Mafrich Edom Zomimim.
So we can say then we have the answer back. Maha mechalel b'maisa einay nischalel ha mechalelim v'dibor kal v'chaymer sheinay nischalel.
I agree, right? Yeah. I think there's a Rashba. I think someone says that. I have to look for it, but yeah, it's a good question. You're right. If this concept of Rav Yochanan remains, then we've come to a point where we're saying Edom Zomimim is Kal because they only did it through speech. So that even though I treat them, their intent as something punishable, as though they did the act, but bottom line, they didn't do an act. And in this sense, what Rav Yochanan says is better than what Rav Barpada said in the previous page. Barpada focused on, did they accomplish or didn't they accomplish? Rav Yochanan saying, did they accomplish through an action or did they accomplish through speech? The point is not, did they or didn't they accomplish? Yeah? Okay. Okay. So the Gemara asks, "Vehi hanosenes." Let's read from the beginning of the Gemara again. Mino hani mili. What's the source for this concept that a person does not go into exile as an eid zomim? Amar Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish answers, Damar Kro. The pasuk says, Hu Yanus Elachas Heorim Ha'el V'chai. He will flee to one of these cities and live. Hu Lo Zomimin. Only he, not Edom Zomimin. Again, we have a miut with regards to Golos. Only the person who killed by mistake. Not the witnesses. Rav Yochanan Omer, Kal v'chomer. Umahu sh'asa ma'aseh v'mezid eino gole. If someone had killed and he had done the action on purpose, he doesn't have the chumrah of going to galus. Hein shelo asu ma'aseh v'mezid. They who did it on purpose, but they didn't do an action. Eino din shelo iglu. Isn't it a kal v'chomer that they should not have the chumrah of going into exile? Asks the Gemara, v'hi notenet. That logic that you just brought is actually supportive in the other direction. V'hi. And that logic you just said, notenet, gives support in the opposite direction. Hu sha'asa ma'aseh b'mezid lo ligli ki heichi d'lotev elei kapara. The Gemara turns around the concept of galut. When the Torah says galut, the Torah says he will go to exile and live. In other words, exile is a leniency. If a person kills on purpose, he does not have that leniency. When a person killed by mistake, he has that leniency. So Rav Yochanan's whole approach was based on the idea that galut is a stringency. So he said, oh, look at this. If a person kills, but he's done the action on purpose, so then he has the leniency, he doesn't go to galut. Well, certainly they who gave testimony and they did it on purpose should have that leniency of not going to galut. The Gemara says it's not a leniency. Not going to galut is not a leniency. It's not that going to galut is a stringency and when you don't go you have a leniency. It's that going to galut is a privilege. The actual going to galut is not a punishment, it's a privilege. And that's why I read the full pasuk. Hu yanus elachat ha'arim ha'el v'chai. The Torah says he can go to exile and live in this world and the world to come. He gets a kapara. The Torah is telling him, here, you have an out. You have a way of atoning for what you've done wrong. Galut isn't a punishment. Galut is a leniency. Back to our Gemara. So that's why the Gemara says, the Kal v'chomer of Yochanan brought is actually supportive in the opposite direction. Hu sha'asa ma'aseh b'mezid lo ligli k'echid lo tevele kapara. When a person killed on purpose, he doesn't go to galut. The Torah is saying, I'm not giving you such an easy kapara, such an easy atonement. You're going to have to burn like a Tootsie Roll. You don't get away with that.
Could this kihir mean just like
that? Oh, and so that.
What does that mean?
He did an action, he doesn't go to galus, so that he will not have a kapara. The Torah withholds this leniency from him. When a person killed on purpose, he doesn't get galut. That's not a leniency, that's a stringency, not going to galut. The Torah doesn't afford him that leniency of going to galut. You can't say, oh, so the Edom Zomimin, they're more kal, they shouldn't have that leniency. The Kal v'chomer is backwards, the Gemara says. Rav Yochanan was assuming that going to galut is a punishment. So the Rav Yochanan said, look, the murderer doesn't have that punishment. Oh, wow. So then certainly these people who only spoke shouldn't have that punishment. The Gemara says it's not a punishment. It's a privilege, going to galut. And the murderer doesn't get that privilege of going to galut and atoning for his sins with merely going to galut. But the Edom Zomim, maybe they should. Back to our Gemara, Hu sha'asa ma'aseh, the Gemara says the Kal v'chomer is the other way. When a person murdered and he did an action b'mezid on purpose, lo ligle, when he doesn't go to galut, he doesn't get that privilege, ki hechi, so that, delo tehevele kapara, he won't have atonement. Hein, but the Edom Zomim, shelo asu ma'aseh b'mezid, that when they did something with intent, at least what they did was not a physical action, it was simply speech. Nami liglu, then maybe they should also go into exile. Ki hechi delevelu kaparach, so that they can get atonement. So you don't know Edom Zomimin from the murderer. The murderer doesn't have that leniency because bottom line, he did an action. They demzomimin, perhaps if all they did was speech and not an action, maybe they should have that leniency of galut. So again, by delineating what was the chamur, what was the kal, we can understand what changed in the Gemara's answer. In the Gemara's answer, the Gemara says, no, it's a leniency, it's not a chumrah. And that's why the Gemara knocks out Rav Yochanan. Notice that even in the Gemara's knockout, the logic of Rav Yochanan that speech is less severe than action remains. The Gemara simply says the concept of galut is not a chumrah. It's not a stringency. It is a kula, it is a leniency, it is a privilege, not a punishment. But again, that that balance, is an action more severe? Is speech more severe? That remains, and that is classical. Throughout Shas, what we find is that the line of reasoning rarely changes. You'll rarely have a situation where what I thought was chamur is really kal. Even the fact that the Gemara over here turned on galut from being a punishment to being a privilege is unique. It's a pretty strong turnaround for the Gemara. Ela, says the Gemara, mechvarta, the clean, the white pshat, the pshat that works is kidereish lakish. The initial pshat we had like reish lakish, that we derive it from a pasuk. Yes.
First of all, mechvarta means it's not a complete knockout of Rabbi Yochanan, is it? It's just saying reish lakish works better. Is it saying
no? It's I don't accept Rabbi Yochanan.
It's like tiyufta.
It's not like Tiyufta, but the way the Gemara is framed here, he hanotenet, what you said is supportive the other way. And machvarta, the clean shot, it's not a complete Tiyufta, but it is, I'm going the other way.
And does Rabbi Yochanan Taka hold that Galus is a Chumra?
I don't know. I don't know if it's the printers or the Gemara. But the Gemara did only quote the beginning of the pasuk, Hu yanus elachat ha'arim. And the Gemara left out the last two words, and he will live. Those words certainly indicate that galut is a leniency. I'm saying that the Gemara words it, hopefully. That sounds like a stringency. Once you see the end of the pasuk, you realize, hey, that pasuk certainly sounds like a leniency. Okay? To be continued tomorrow, Bezachim.